And if you would, I'm going to ask you to find two passages in your Bible, 1 Samuel 21 and Psalm 56. 1 Samuel 21, we'll read from there first in a few minutes, and then from Psalm 56. Understanding how Psalm 56 helps us necessitates that we visit 1 Samuel 21. So we'll look at these passages in a few minutes. In late fall 2009, Stephanie and I were traveling for Pensacola Christian College's representatives, and we were traveling in Pennsylvania at the time. Something that we were regularly reminded of, especially as the weather began to cool in the late fall and early winter, was to be aware of the weather forecast wherever we were traveling so that we could plan extra time as needed, so we could communicate as needed with the office or with ministries we were scheduled to visit, so that we could be prepared and so that we could be safe. Well, on a particular Saturday, we had experienced some cooler weather, so I was proactive and checked the weather for Sunday so that we could be prepared as we got up and got ready to go to church. When I checked the weather, the call for Saturday was upper 40s, and cloudy, maybe a little rain. You know, nothing serious that you would think anything of. So I thought, okay, we'll be fine. Well, we got up Saturday morning, and it was cold, upper 20s, freezing rain and sleet. And I thought, well, this is not what I was expecting. So we decided we'll not try to get to Sunday school. We'll give it time to try to clear up a little bit. By the time we left to reach the church service, it was not really raining at the time. It wasn't sleeting at that point. So we thought, okay, we'll be fine. We made our way to the church that we were going to be with. And the church sat at the bottom of a hill, kind of in a valley area. We made our way down and we got into the parking lot, and it became clear pretty quickly they'd canceled. They weren't having church that Sunday morning. We sat for a few minutes. There were no cars there. Nobody showed up. And so we thought, okay, well, we'll make our way back to the hotel, figure out lunch, and just go from there. Well, that meant getting back up that steep hill. And as you went up the hill, it kind of curved at the top and all this. So I made my way. We're going up the hill. About three quarters of the way up the hill, the van tires lost traction. And in that 2000 Honda Odyssey we were driving, suddenly we were no longer working our way up the hill. We were coming to a stop and then slowly starting to slide backwards. I had the brakes on. I had the emergency brake on. I put it into park. It didn't matter. The wheels were not moving, but we were still sliding backwards. It was a very slow slide, so I had some time to try to figure out what I was going to do. I noticed to my left was a guardrail, you know, to protect you from falling off the edge of this steep hill. To my right, at the bottom of the hill, were vehicles and houses. Well, I made the decision that it would be better to slide into the guardrail than to possibly hit vehicles and houses at the bottom of the hill. So I did what I could with the steering wheel, and surely we slowly slid to a stop as we rested against the guardrail. But we were sliding. Similarly, we can find ourselves sliding in life. Now, I don't mean in that way. I don't mean as you're walking about in inclement weather that you'll slide on your feet and fall. We can find ourselves sliding in different ways. We may find ourselves sliding because we are treading on slippery ground, and not, again, not geographically, not physically, but in life circumstances, in life events, it might be slick. In Psalm 73, Asaph writes about how he had well nigh slipped. His foot had lost traction. He was talking about spiritually. He was sliding. We may find ourselves sliding because of a bad decision we made. I wonder if you've ever been there. You make a bad decision in life, and it kind of leads to a slope that you're sliding down or on, and you can't seem to stop. We may find ourselves sliding because of a bad decision someone else made that affects us, and it leads to a slide. We may find ourselves sliding because we really weren't prepared for something that came into our lives. We had no way to prepare for it, or maybe we could have prepared for it, we didn't, and it's come, and we find ourselves sliding. The backdrop of Psalm 56 is a time in David's life when he was sliding. We know that David was fleeing from Saul, and over the course of this time, again, I've shared with you, this lasted years. Many of the Psalms that we've seen, especially recently, were around this time in his life. In the backdrop to Psalm 56, we know that David had recently left Jonathan. He had visited Nob. This was where he conversed with the priest Ahimelech and told Ahimelech he was on the king's business. He asked Ahimelech to give him some bread and asked if Ahimelech had any weapons present. And Ahimelech had the sword of Goliath of Gath. And David departed from that place with the sword. Where do you think is the last place David should go? You might say back to Jerusalem, because after all, Saul is pursuing him. He's fleeing from Saul. He leaves Nob with the sword of Goliath of Gath, the giant whom he slew, and then led the Israelites in battle successfully against the Philistines. So besides Jerusalem, where's another place that you think David probably shouldn't go? To Gath of Philistia. And yet, when he leaves Nob, guess where David goes? To Gath. Have you ever noticed that you tend to make less than wise decisions when you are sliding? Maybe, again, it's just because you find yourself on slippery ground. Maybe it's a decision you've made, or a decision someone else has made that's impacted you, or a situation in life that you weren't prepared for, whether or not you could have been. I think it's interesting that regardless of the reason, sometimes when we are sliding in life, we tend to make less than wise decisions. I've often cautioned people when they've come to me for counsel or questioning different things, I've often cautioned them about making life-altering decisions when they're in a challenging place in life. Your emotions tend to cloud judgment. You're sliding, and you tend to make kind of rash decisions just quickly when you're sliding, and often they are less than wise decisions. They're not the best choices. And David's doing that. He's sliding, and in that place in his life, he is making less than wise choices. Notice what the Bible tells us then happens when he comes to Gath. 1 Samuel 21, beginning in verse 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. So David is in the court of Achish. The guards of Achish bring David to Achish's attention and say, isn't this guy actually the king of the land? They sing about Saul that he has slain thousands, but this guy 10,000s. Verse 12, and David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, see ye see the man is mad? Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Do you see what's going on here? David is sliding in life, and it has led to making some less than wise choices. And now he finds himself in the court of Achish in danger. Verse 12 told us what? He was sore afraid. The title of Psalm 56, if you're there in your Bibles, tells us to the chief musician upon a big word that I'm not going to try to say, Michum of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. It indicates to us that David did not purposefully go into Achish's court, but he was actually taken captive, taken prisoner. He was found out and arrested, if you will, by the guards of Achish. He was apprehended. David is in a place where he is afraid, he's alone, and he's struggling. I can't tell you exactly when, but it's at some point during this scene that David recognizes that he's sliding, and he decided to do something about it. By the way, that's a big difference between David and Saul. Saul came to a place in his life where he was sliding, and he didn't do anything about it. David recognized, I'm sliding. I'm not where I should be. I need to do something. Let's read Psalm 56, where we'll find out what David did that will help us when we find ourselves sliding. Psalm 56, beginning in verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, when shall mine enemies turn back? This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living? So what should you do when you find yourself falling? Number one, recognize what precipitated the slide. Recognize what precipitated the slide. When you find yourself sliding, regardless of the reason, you find yourself in a place where you really shouldn't be. Recognize the slide. What precipitated David's slide? I think we can make some good educated guesses. Number one, I would guess fear. Think about it. What drove David to flee to Gath in the first place? It was fear of Saul. He's running for his life. What did David experience in Gath when he was brought before Achish? 1 Samuel 21 verse 12 tells us clearly David was sore afraid before Achish. He feared. He was afraid. The kind of fear that David experienced caused him to slide and keep on sliding as long as he allowed the fear to control him. Now, there are times when fear is proper, fear is right, when we have a proper respect for and recognition of things, but there are times when fear, being afraid and letting that fear control us, is not the right action, is not the right thing for us. On Friday afternoon, we drove to Wendell to meet up with a young lady that Stephanie worked with for a while in Pensacola, to meet up with her, her husband, and her couple of children. And we started at a coffee shop and then moved over to Chick-fil-A because the kids were getting restless and we wanted to let them go wild in the play place. So the kids were playing in the play place, and at one point a couple of my children came out to me concerned about another boy that was in the play place who was being rude. He was, in their words, being a little bit of a bully. And I sent them, gave them a little instruction, sent them back into the play place. There was some screaming at one point and craziness going on. So I went to check on what was going on. Michael was concerned that this other young boy was pulling on his feet. And so I talked to him a little bit about it, and I sent him on his way. And at one point, he crawled up into a place, and this young boy followed him up there, and the young boy was kind of over him, and Michael got into the corner and covered his head and was just going, I called Michael down. He was fake crying. I called him down. I said, Michael, do you think acting that way is helping the situation or hurting the situation?
Hurting?
Yeah. You're not helping yourself in that situation by acting afraid. David, would you agree with me that in his fear made some choices that were not good? Choices that were not helpful. And it just led him to a place where, in reality, he was probably in more danger than he was in Judea, than he was around or near Jerusalem. And he was still afraid. Be careful about letting fear control you. I think we can take another guess about what David may have precipitated his slide. Not only fear, but I think possibly loneliness. Think about it. Just before David began fleeing, he had met with his good friend Jonathan. And now they've parted, and by the way, they'll never see each other again. David is not at the point yet where he has gathered other outcasts to him. Remember, later he'll have a band of 400 men, other outcasts, some of them even lawbreakers, that are gathered around David that David takes charge of and leads. He doesn't have that group yet. David is by himself. That means, folks, that he doesn't have friends around him. He doesn't have his family with him. He is leaving his homeland. He's in a pagan enemy land. He's alone. Loneliness can sometimes be a dangerous experience. According to a report from the NPR dated May 2nd, 2023, quote, there is an epidemic of loneliness in the United States, and lacking connection can increase the risk for premature death to levels comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. according to a new advisory from the U.S. Surgeon General. It goes on, it warns that the physical consequences of poor connection can be devastating, including a 29% increased risk of heart disease, a 32% increased risk of stroke, and a 50% increased risk of developing dementia for older adults. What we are learning is that loneliness can impact us in our health in profound ways. And friends, I would suggest that loneliness can affect you in ways beyond what we see in our health. It can be a reason for a slide. Loneliness. Perhaps that was true for David. So when you are sliding, take a step back. Seek to recognize the reason for the slide. Number two, when you are sliding, you need to redirect your thoughts. Again, I don't know exactly when it happened, but David recognized his slide. There came a point in the midst of all this that David realized, wow, I am not where I should be. This situation is not the situation I should be in. And my own decisions have kind of helped put me in this place. It was then that he realized he was focused on the wrong people and the wrong things. And you see this even in the psalm, don't you? How much he's writing about his enemies and the words that they're speaking against him, how they're surrounding him, the danger that he's found himself in. But in that place, David recognizes he's focused on the wrong people, the wrong things, and he redirects his thoughts. What did he redirect his thoughts to? Number one, I'll show you that he redirected his thoughts to the object of his faith. We talked about this a little this morning. He redirects his thoughts to the object. Notice in this psalm, he says in verse number 3, I will trust in thee. In verse number 4, in God I have put my trust. And he'll say that again in verse 11. David realized that his actions while he was sliding identified a void. He had failed to trust God. This doesn't mean he had never trusted God. He had, but at some point, David stopped trusting God. Let me ask you a question. Who sent Samuel to anoint David the next king of Israel? Who did that? God had, right? Let me ask you a question. If God sent Samuel to anoint David to be the next king of Israel, could anyone or anything prevent that from happening? No. In reality, David had no reason to fear Saul. David recognized his fear, as it always is, was an evidence of a void in his faith. At some point, he got his focus off of God. He stopped trusting God and looked at other people, other things. And so David redirects his thoughts. He'd not been trusting God as he should or as he had previously. He redirected his thoughts back to the object of his faith. But notice he also redirected his thoughts to the content of his faith. Look, if you would, again at verse 4, because he says, not only in God I have put my trust, before that even, he says, in God I will, what? Praise his word. Where do we find reason to make God the object of our faith? Ultimately, it's in his word, isn't it? Where do we gain the knowledge of God that we have? How do we get to know God? How can we claim the things of God that we claim? It's right here, isn't it? It's the Word. David redirected his thoughts back to the object of his faith, to God, and to the content of his faith, the Word of God. David could look at what he had of the revealed Word of God at the time. Not only what he had of the revealed written Word of God, David could consider God's revealed Word to him through the prophet Samuel in the anointing to be king. If God had made that choice, if this was God's plan and purpose for David's life, no one and nothing could prevent it. David found what he needed in God's Word. Friends, the same is true for you and me. When you find yourself sliding, redirect your thoughts. Go back to the object of your faith. Go back to the content of your faith. And fill in that void, fill in that gap of trust. Number three, when you find yourself sliding, preach to yourself. Do you talk to yourself? It's fine, you can admit it. By the way, it's not unusual. It's not abnormal. You don't have some kind of sickness if you talk to yourself. It's normal. And actually, those who study such things tell us it is even healthy and beneficial to talk to yourself. According to a report from June 2020, talking to yourself can help you find things you've lost. How many of you have a habit of misplacing things? Do you know that research proves that if you actually audibly say the thing that you're looking for, you have a better chance of finding it? It means you're visualizing it. You're reminding yourself over and over again what it's looking for, so you have a better chance of noticing it when your eyes cross it. So the next time you misplace your keys, the next time you misplace your wallet, just say to yourself over and over again, keys, keys, I'm looking for the keys. People will think you're weird. It's okay. You'll have a better chance of finding it. Talking to yourself can help you to stay focused. When you're working on a task, when you're working on a project, audibly talking to yourself out loud about what you're doing can help you to stay better focused on the task at hand. It can motivate you. Do you ever find yourself lacking motivation? Getting out of bed in the morning can sometimes be a struggle for some of us. Talking to yourself. And by the way, they tell us not even just talking to yourself in the first person, but talking to yourself in the second and third person can inspire and motivate you to success. Michael, you've got this. You can do this. It actually helps and can motivate you. It can help you to better process difficult things. Talking to yourself about what you're feeling, what you're going through, the emotions you're experiencing, audibly talking to yourself out loud can help you to better process these difficult things. Now, if those things are true, and research tells us that they are, what happens then when we talk or preach to ourselves the truths of God's Word? Friends, can I remind you that your enemy is a deceiver? He is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. He uses deception regularly in his arsenal as he shoots his fiery darts our way. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about taking unto us the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles literally has the idea of deceptions. And friends, if you don't think that the devil is regularly speaking his lies to you, then you've really fallen for the deception. He is. He's lying to you. How do you combat those lies? Preach to yourself. Declare God's truth to yourself. And by the way, not just just in your mind, out loud. Who talks to you the most? If you include inner talk, the voice you hear in your head, you probably talk to you more than anybody else does. I know that's hard to fathom for some of us. But you probably talk to yourself more than anybody else does. And if you're not careful, that inner talk especially, we've talked before about bombarding thoughts, intrusive thoughts, the hundreds of intrusive thoughts that we're told we have every single day. Often those intrusive thoughts are the lies of the enemy bombarding you over and over and over again. How do you combat that? Speak truth to yourself. Preach to yourself. I love the psalmist because he does this regularly. He preaches to himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Trust in God." Here he does it. Listen to these words from this psalm. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Friends, the psalm opens with, "Be merciful unto me, O God." It seems, and it is, that he's praying. But friends, he's not declaring these words to God for God's benefit. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." This isn't for God's benefit. Guess whose benefit it is for? Himself. He's declaring this to himself. Friends, listen to me. If talking to yourself can help you find things you've lost, if talking to yourself can help motivate you and help you to stay focused and better process difficult things you're going through, then friends, talking to yourself, preaching to yourself the truths of God's word can help you so much when you find yourself sliding. When you find yourself in a place where you think, "I really shouldn't be here," preach to yourself. And then finally, praise God now. Where do you find yourself right now? Some of you may say, "I'm good. I'm on the mountaintop. I'm on cloud nine. I'm in a good place right now." Praise God. Some of you may say, "I'm not in a real good place. I'm really struggling with some stuff right now. In fact, Pastor, as you've described it, I guess you could say, I'm sliding right now. And I've listened to the message, and man, there are some things here that will really help me." Even if you find yourself there, praise God now. In the end of the psalm, David says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Notice what David does here. He confesses, he testifies that God has delivered him. But then do you notice how he asks God a question? He says, "You have delivered my soul from death. But God, I also need you to deliver my feet from falling." David is still in a difficult place. David is still in a place where he recognizes he needs God's help. He needs God to intervene. But notice, that doesn't keep him from recognizing, "I'm going to praise you right now. God, I'm going to give you praise." Friends, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, whether you feel like your feet are firmly planted where you are, or you could say, my feet have well nigh slipped. My feet have fallen, as David says here at the end of the psalm. You can praise God. And I would submit to you that praising God is something that you can do when you find yourself sliding, to help you get back to a place where your feet are on solid ground. What do you do when you find yourself sliding? Well, recognize what precipitated the slide. What brought me to this place? Redirect your thoughts away from the wrong people, the wrong things, to the object and the content of your faith. Preach to yourself. Praise God now. If you'll do these things as David did, it will help you when you're sliding to get back to a place where your feet are on solid ground.